So I was in the kindergarten class at JFK, and I asked the little kids, I said, where does God live? And man, all the hands shot straight up. They're like, we know. And so I like started calling on them. First one was, me. And they're like, where does God live? And they go, in heaven. And they point straight up. I'm like, you're right. And then all the other kids were like, oh man, that's the answer I wanted to give. Right? But then there were still hands up. So I said, okay, where does God live? And the kid was like all smart. And he's like, look, God lives in the entire world. He's in the entire universe. I'm like, you're right. Bam. And then all the other hands put their hands down. I'm like, oh, man. So, you know, at this point, there's a couple kids with their hands still up. And so I called on one of them and I said, where does God live? And the child said, in my heart. And I was like, whoa. This little kid got it. Right? This little kindergartner understands. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus said that from the lips of babes will come the truth, right? It's so beautiful. This understanding that we don't stop and think about that, that God lives inside me. And when did that begin? Well, that became in baptism, that the indwelling of the Holy Trinity came inside of us in baptism. And that's why, by the way, as Catholic Christians and mainline Protestants, we baptize as infants. We don't have to wait for someone to accept Christ as a teenager or young adult. No, the indwelling of God, the Holy Trinity, we want that as soon as possible. At some point later in life, they'll accept Christ. But we want God inside of us now. So what does that mean? That's pretty cool to have God inside of us. Kind of scary, too. Well, we need to understand that if we're going to understand the readings today. Because the readings, I don't know about you, look, are intimidating. The first reading was like, be holy as your God is holy. Yeah, right. Good luck with that. I wake up and know how big of a sinner I am. I'm like, that ain't going to happen. And then Jesus, which this is one of the hardest passages for me. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father's perfect. I'm like, man, I was doing so good. I was checking off all the boxes and they're like, be perfect. You know, and this is why a lot of people stop practicing their faith, because religion is so difficult. It's like a challenge. How can I do this, man? I'm broken. I'm a sinner. And nowhere does God want us to be perfect. And nowhere on our own can we be holy. So how does that work? Well, St. Paul gives us the answer today in the second reading. And he says that you and I are all temples of the Holy Spirit. So what's he talking about? Well, he was, as an ancient Jew, he knew the law very well, because he was a Pharisee. He's one of the great scholars of the law. And so he knew that God, his presence actually dwelled in Jerusalem, in what was called the temple. And so if you wanted to go into the presence of God in ancient Israel, you had to travel hundreds, if not thousands of miles to go into the presence of God. And how did you know it was there? Well, if you go back to the story of Moses in Exodus, you know that while they wandered the desert for 40 years, God was with them. And he was with them because he was in the pillar of the cloud. By day, it would lead them, and by night, it would overshadow the meeting tent. And in Hebrew, it was called the Shekinah. The Shekinah was, again, the cloud of unknowing. It was the glory cloud of God. And so the Israelites would see God ascending and descending upon the meeting tent. And they knew God was there, and only Moses could go in. He had to be purified. And so for 40 years, God traveled in with the Israelites. And then finally, they settled in Jerusalem, in the land of Cana. And it wasn't until King Solomon that he built the temple. And after they had built the temple and they dedicated it, guess what happened? The Shekinah came back. The Shekinah, when they put the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, the cloud, the great cloud of God, overshadowed the temple again. And so they knew God's presence was there. And what was interesting was it stayed there until Israel would screw up royally, until they sinned as a nation, and they betrayed God, and they followed other false religions. And when that would happen, the Shekinah would leave. It was gone. And they knew that bad things were about to happen. And typically they were then conquered by another foreigner nation. They would come in and either the temple was either desecrated or it was destroyed time and time again. And so this understanding that sin actually caused the dwelling of God to leave the temple. Now fast forward today to the second reading. And St. Paul tells us that we are this temple of the Holy Spirit. That God dwells in us now, not in a temple in Jerusalem, but now in our hearts. But he's also teaching us in the second reading is that God can stop dwelling with us. This is the scary part, folks. Right? That sometimes sin can push God away. And so that our temples can be empty of the Holy Spirit. And so this is how we've come to know this whole thing called mortal sin in the catechism. I read this in the catechism. It says that the soul actually dies because it's no longer in right relationship with God. And so we constantly need to make sure that our temples are clean and that our God dwells with us. While we all received him in baptism, he can come and go freely. And unfortunately, sometimes when we live in sin, we force Jesus out of our hearts. And so one thing is a great time. That's why you and I have confession, is it's this recognition of like, I want a clean house. You know, I was living in Pittsburgh for a while and I learned this ancient language called Pittsburghese. Okay? No clue what it means. But, you know, when I clean my room, it's called redding up your room. Did you red up your room? I'm like, what is this? They were foreigners, I tell you. But I was living up north. And so to red up your room meant to clean it. And so I think that what St. Paul's telling us is your soul clean? Right? God dwells inside you. Have you prepared a dwelling place for him in the temple of your soul? And if there's sin, either mortal sin has kicked him out or venial sin has caused it to be really dirty, are we willing to acknowledge, hey, I've sinned and here's how I sinned? And I want to confess that. Again, the season of Lent is a great time for that. And so Jesus tells us also in scriptures that there are three ways by which we can cleanse our temple of the Holy Spirit, which is our souls. He said the first one's prayer. And prayer is, it's interesting. I want you to think of it as talking to God. But God's not out there. God's not up in heaven somewhere. He's in my heart. And so I want you to pray this week, but I want you to close your eyes and kind of pull your eyes backwards and think that God's in your body somewhere. It's an interesting way to pray. I tried it. It was kind of weird at first. But then I was like, wow, no, God's in me. And I'm one with God. And so I could share with him anything that's on my heart. My fears, my hopes, my dreams, anything. How my day went, the positives, the negatives. And then all of a sudden, a relationship began with God. The second part, so the first part of praying, again, is that. So find time. And we always think about quantity, right? If I only pray 36,000 rosaries, man, I'm good. All right, if I only pray on my knees, man, I'm good. No, it's not about quantity, folks. It's about quality. So even if you have a family, you're super busy. If you have a quality 5 minutes with God, that's awesome. We just got to make time for it. Because why? God dwells inside of us. The second thing is this fasting thing. Oh, man. You know, most people think of Ash Wednesday as Catholic New Year's resolutions, right? Yeah, we wanted to lose 10 pounds. Didn't work in January, did it? Let's try it for Lent, huh? Right? I'm going to give up chocolate. Well, didn't work. Let's try Lent. Right? It's Catholic New Year's resolutions is all it is. And we do it for about the first week or two, and then there's seven. We're like, I'm out. That's what happens. But fasting is, what is really fasting? If God dwells in us, then fasting is about giving up little things so that I can take time for God. See, at the end of the day, God gave every one of us, whether we're rich or poor, young or old, black or white, doesn't matter, 24 hours in a day. How wisely do you use it? You can't get those back. And so, you know, we get so busy, and this is the temptation of Satan. His new weapon in the 21st century is to keep you busy. If you're busy, we make excuses for not doing things that are good, right, and just. Oh, I should be calling my family, but I'm too busy. You know, I should be taking care of my family and spending more quality time, but I'm too busy. We should be planning vacations together, but I'm too busy. What the number one reason why people aren't going to church anymore? Not because they hate God, it's because they're too busy. Right? Satan's God. He's good. He's real good. This understanding that we got 24 hours. And so fasting is giving up something earthly or cutting back on it so that what? We could spend more time with God. You know, it's interesting in the spiritual life. You know what we call our prayer with God? The interior life. Huh. I didn't make this up. People much smarter than I, called saints, did. right? God's inside of us. And so this understanding that if I want to spend time with him, I'm going to have to give up some of my earthly and temporal things so that I can do that. Finally, almsgiving. Almsgiving is, again, a perspective. If God lives inside me and he has blessed me so much, then it's a thing of generosity. I'm generous. I want to give. I'm free to be me and I'm free to be open. And I just want to share that with the world. So I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to help those in need. I'm going to help my neighbor, you know? And I'm going to do it freely. I'm not begrudging like, oh, God, I have to do this. No, I want to do it, you know? And so almsgiving, again, is when I know God lives inside me, I'm going to live and act differently. And finally, today's gospel makes sense. That we can act more like God and we can think like him. And so those are two scary words. You know, the Old Testament, to be holy as God is holy and to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And so I'd like to argue that if you and I understand that God lives inside us and is one with him in prayer, guess what? You're holy by association and you're perfected by participation. What does that mean? Well, you're not holy because of anything you've ever done, okay? Holiness is not something you earn. It's something you receive in association with. And so if you're one with God, he's holy, which makes you holy. Huh? And so at all costs, you and I want to have God dwell with us. That's why we go to the sacraments. That's why you and I are about to receive the Eucharist, right? You can't get any more intimate with God than to receive his body and blood, right? That's awesome. Why? Because God wants to have union with you. The second thing is, how do I get perfected in love? How do I start acting and thinking more like God? It's through participation, right? The more I'm understanding God, the more I'm talking to God, the more I'm receiving the sacraments, the more I'm reading the Bible, the more that I'm spending time with God, guess what? I'm going to become like him, right? I'm never going to be able to love my enemies unless I let God love me first. I'm never going to be able to pray for those who persecute me unless I come to know how much my Heavenly Father loves me. So this understanding is that, yeah, God's inside me. That's crazy. And Lent, 40 days, is an opportunity for us to take time out of our busy lives to do just that. Recognize I got something special inside me. And so Lent is only a few days away. And my mom always, she gives me adages. She always says, Michael, you get out of Lent what you put into it. If you do nothing for Lent, you get nothing. All right. If you give up pop and you hate pop, well, you guess what? You didn't do anything. Right. If you gave up homework, I tried that. Didn't work. Okay. You can't give up something you don't like. So nonetheless, you and I, it's about going deeper and praying and giving and alms and fasting. Why? Because there's something special inside me. And so I gave out honorary doctorates of theology to all those JFK kindergarten kids. They were awesome. They were right. They got it. Bingo. From the lips of babes will come truth. What happened? Does God live in heaven? Yes. Does God live in the world and all that he created? You better believe it. But most importantly, the crazy thing to believe is that God dwells in our hearts because of baptism. And I pray that you have a dwelling that is holy and perfect because of him.